So I want to talk to you today about unity, and we're gonna take it where we left off last week. And I just want to go. This is such a powerful passage, but I want to talk about just real quick about unity, and I want to talk for a bit about contentious. And tell you and teach you what that means and show it to you in the Word of God. But before we do that, we'll just review what we went over last week. Such a powerful passage. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any love, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Look and see again. He's saying, listen, guys, if there's anything, he just really says, listen, guys, we got to get it together in this area. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you have no choice. You need to be united. So looking at the third verse, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. That's what gets in the way of unity. You know what I mean? An individual, you know what? Mine, I want, you know what I mean? That is a opposite of unity. So he says, let nothing be done selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, lowliness, humility. Watch this. Here's the key. Let each esteem others better than himself. Wow, let's read that together. Let each esteem others better than himself. You know what? What's striking to me? Let each. That means this is for every single one of us. There's no exceptions. Yeah, but Pastor, I can kind of be a little selfish because, you know, the truth is I'm just like a little smarter than everybody else that I know. How many know most of us think we're smarter than everybody else? You don't have to raise your hand. I already know you think that. Okay. But listen, we got to be real. We got to say, no. That is not how we act. Let each of you let each of you look out not only for his own interest. In the end times, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. You know what? We have to get off just me mentality. Okay, but also in the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What was that? That was his mindset. No. I'm going to give my life. That I'm going to come to this earth, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, including dying on a cross. Why? Because I want others to be reunited with my Father in heaven. And if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. I'm not going to put myself in front of others. I'm going to put others in front of me. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Bondservant is somebody has freedom, but chooses to be bound anyway. Coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God, why? See, listen. When you will humble yourself and put your wife in front of you, put your husband in front of you, put your kids in front of you, put others in front of you, come and serve. How many are you going to come to our church work day? Raise your hand if you're coming to our church work day. Or let me try it again. How many are coming to our church work day? How many are coming to? Here, let me try it again. See, how many know we have got, you want my commitment? Yes, I want your commitment. I want us to get out of the everything is about me. I want us to not so much clean our own houses, I want us to clean God's house. Pastor, but I don't even know when church work day is. Good, commit to it no matter what day it is. Let me try it again. How many come to church work day? Yeah. Okay, we're getting there. Maybe I'll get all your hands before the end of the night. Amen. See, that's what, how many know that's what this passage is talking, this passage talking about church work day? Absolutely it is. Amen. Pastor, I think you're manipulating it. No, I'm being straight up with you. Amen. It's time that church not just be about talk, but be about action. Amen? I said amen. Amen. How many come to church work day? Didn't the Bible say, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary? That's taking that out of context. All right? You got me on that one. Okay. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Well, here's what I'm saying. The best thing you do is serve. Because the Bible says if you keep your life, you're going to lose your life. Most people, you know what? They will accomplish nothing in their life. And let me tell you why. I said most people. I didn't say you. How many know Cameron and I believe in you guys?
Amen.
I said, how many know Cameron and I believe in you guys? I said, most people will accomplish nothing in their life. You know what? Their life, all the busyness is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. It's all going to burn up. It's all rubble and hay and, you know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean? But there's some people. And their life is going to make a difference. Because they're going to leave, you know what? They're going to give, lay their life down. Listen, let me tell you what. There might not be, you know what, listen, you come to church work day, you know what? About all you're going to get out of it is a burrito. Amen? I'm telling you, that's all you're going to get. Okay? Right now. Going to be no fanfare. You know what I mean? You know, you're not going to go home and, you know what, there'll be a bunch of people cheering for you. That ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? You'll come home and, you know what, somebody will say, hey, you got more work to do. Amen? Listen to me. But if you give your life, you're going to find it. You know who's got an awesome life? You know who's got an awesome life? Pastor Vegas. You know who's got an awesome life? You know what? Marilyn. You know who's got an awesome life? Joel. I could keep on going. All I'm saying is, yeah, but Pastor, I got to work 40 hours. I know you got to work 40 hours. A lot of people work 40 hours. Listen to me. Some of you are blessed. I don't know who this is for. Some of you are blessed, and for whatever reason, you don't work 40 hours.
Amen.
You might want to show up, you know, on another time of sort, Sunday and Wednesday at church. Amen? You know what? Like these two, you know what? Who come down. You know, what do you think? You think that, you know what? You think that you know what? Every, when you know, Panera gives us all a bunch of bread, but you know what? They don't all make it all nice. You think Panera spends all that time and puts all that bread in? No, they don't do all that. They throw it in, you know, we get it, and praise God, we get it for them. Amen? I'm not, thank God they don't throw it away. You know what? But it is all discombobulated when we get it, if that's a word. Yeah, just cardboard boxes, you know what I mean? Here you go. You know what I mean? They're in a hurry. Here you go. No. Gracious, loving people come down, you know what, every week, and they serve you. Amen?
Amen.
They serve you. That's what your life is about. And the reason why Jesus, all I'm saying is, you know what? If you just are all about yourself and all the money you make you spend on yourself, or you know what, or the majority, almost all the money you make is spent on yourself, almost all your time is spent on yourself, you know what? You're living far below than when God has a life for you.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so what happens with God is His name is exalted above every other name. Why? Because he served like nobody else. He served more than anybody else. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on the earth and those underneath the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, now it's getting back to you. Now it's getting back to us. We're his beloved. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You know what I mean? How many know we need to recognize that God is always watching.
Yes.
Our supervisors might not always watch us. The Bible says in Proverbs that you know what? You're blessed when you have an employee and they work hard, you know what, when you're not around. Amen. But now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do what is His good pleasure. That stirring up, you got something stirring up inside you that wants to do the right thing. It doesn't mean you can't override God. How many know you can do whatever you want to do? But you don't have to. And when you feel that pull, you know what? Of God saying, you know what? You need to give. You need to become a giver. You need to become a tither. You need to become, you know what? You need to give. You need to come down and serve. You need to start coming in drive-through prayer. See, if everybody's saying it's you know, for all playing dodgeball, then everybody thinks this message is for somebody else. Yeah. But let me tell you what, this message isn't for somebody else. This message is for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm in trouble because I have no idea where we just went. Hey, guys in the back, can somebody real smarter than me come on up here and help me? I was doing good for a while, huh? Amen. You're so gracious. Oh, wait. You guys don't need to come. I got this. God is good. All right. Oh, well, look at me, man. I'm
bad. That's
right. I'm a bad guy. All right. That is so awesome. Right. Okay, I got it. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You know, what does that mean? That means, listen, let me tell you what that means. That means when God is telling you you need to give, stop complaining about it. I mean, I don't know why a pastor just always talks. Stop complaining about it. Amen? Just understand the will of God. The will of God is for you to be a giver. It just is the will of God.
Yes.
Amen? In all areas in your life. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
That is the will of God. That you might become blameless, and here's the beautiful thing, that you might become, see, there's this maturity. People who give, let me tell you what, they are mature people. They start to understand what the kingdom of God is.
Yes.
That you won't become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. A perverse generation, a generation where, listen, let me tell you what perversion is. Everything is about me. That is perversion. That's perversion, amen? It's like, oh, hallelujah. I never say the F word, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, praise God you never say the F word. I'm so glad. But listen, are you perverted? Is your life perverted?
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Watch out.
Do all you care about is your little kingdom. That's perverted.
Yeah.
That's perversion. That you might become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Listen, this world is so perverted that when you serve other people, you will stand out.
Amen.
You will be, you know what I mean? You'll be like, ah, you know what I mean? And they will be attracted to the light.
Yeah.
Amen. Are you learning something? Yeah. Hold fast to the word of life so that you might rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain and labored in vain.
Amen.
Man, hold fast, guys. Don't grow weary in doing good. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? You know what? We're almost at the finish line. Are you kidding me? Now's not the time to stop, amen? Now's the time to power on. You know what I mean? I should get up early in the morning and run. And you know what? And I would run a little, and then I ran a little more, and then I ran a little more, and then I ran. You know what I mean? Pretty soon I was running a lot. And but my favorite time was at the very end. You know what I mean? And I'd act like, I'd play Christian music, but I'd act like I had Rocky on, you know what I mean? And the last, I'd go around the whole thing once, and then I went around, you know what, once and a quarter, and once and a half, and once and three quarters, and then I went around two times. And the very end, I had this stretch, and I'd go around the corner, and there'd be the house on the corner and my house. And I would just like start, you know what, da-da-da, da-da-da, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't stop until, you know what, the finish line would be the my mailbox, you know what I mean? And I'd act like there was a, listen, you could have videotaped this. You get up early enough, you could have saw this whole thing. And I'd act like I was just pressing the videotape. I was like, yes. My dogs are all looking at me like, what in the world does he do this every morning for? What a geek. Anyway, but the but the point is, you know what? The point is, there's gonna be a day, you know what? And if we'll be faithful, you know what? I'm telling you, you will not regret. You'll lead all kinds of other people. You know what? Richard right now, you know, he won't even tell you, but Richard right now goes to a convalescent home and just sings to them. Yeah. Amen. You know what? Yeah. Amen. See, and I guarantee you, one time, you know what, way back in the day, you know what, we used to have a guy, and you know, we only had, you know, when I first started preaching, we had 20 people here, and they were almost all 80 years old or older, you know what I mean? We had one guy who used to walk to church, you know what I mean? 80-something years old, John, I forget his last name, but you know what, John used to come, and he'd walk here, you know what, and he'd sit right in the aisle, you know what, and he'd put his head like this. And you know what, about three quarters through my sermon, he just started going, shee. Hey, Pastor, what'd you do? I just smile, you know what, preach a little louder, amen. Amen. Thank God John didn't grow weary in doing good. You know, thank God that John didn't stay at home and say, you know what, well, I'm too old, I'll just watch, you know, Christian television. No. John understood. He had a church. He had a pastor. He had an opportunity. He had a position. His position was to be here. And your position is to be here. And your position is not only to be here and sit here. Your position is to be here and serve here and to give here. Amen? And God is so faithful. I said God is so faithful. First Corinthians. Let's start with chapter 10. Now I plead with you. Do you see this again?
Yeah.
It's like, do what you want to do. Everything's good. You know, Paul's on, it's all good. No, that's not what he's saying. I plead with you, brethren, talking to Christians, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would speak the same things. What's that? Be in unity. Speak the same things. Look at your neighbor and say, speak the same things. And that there be no division among you. How many division among you?
No
division among you, but that you might be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. How do you do that? How do you do that? I've taught you this before. You know what? Some of you catching on. I better watch it because too many of you catching on. You know what I mean? I say count to three, and you know what? And I'll take you out to eat wherever everybody says. You know, one, two, three, say it. Oh, thank God. Somebody said steak and sign. Somebody said Pacquiao. Amen. Someday you're all going to get together and you're all going to say steak and sign. I'm going to be obligated. Amen. Here's my point. My point is, listen, to understand, to be united together. How can we speak the same thing? How can we have no division among us? How can we be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment? How can we do this? Here's how we can do this. We can say, Pastor Drew's our pastor, and with all his imperfections, you know what? We understand his heart is to do the right thing. His heart is, how many know my heart is to see people saved? Yes. How many know my heart is to get people off drugs? Yes. How many know my heart is to lead junior hires and high schoolers to know Jesus Christ? Yes. How many know my heart is to restore families? Yes. How many know my heart is to grow the kingdom of God? Yes. How many know my heart? Come on, I'm asking. Yes. How many know my heart? Yes. How many know my heart? Yes. How many know this is my heart?
Yes.
And you know what? And so, you know what? It doesn't make any difference. The details don't make any difference.
Yes.
It's all tomato or tomato, but we are of the same heart, of the same mind, of the same judgment. And we're saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to establish the kingdom. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to agree that we're not going to argue about ridiculous stuff.
Amen.
That's what we're going to agree. We're going to agree that we should be in church. We're going to agree that we should, you know what, that we should have a happy, hilarious heart, that we should give and we should be part of what God is doing. We're going to agree that we should bring our junior hires and our high schoolers to church. We're going to agree that, you know what, we will pick them up and throw them in the, put them in the car. and insist that, you know what, that, you know, as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. That's what we're going to agree on. Amen. And maybe, you know what, and maybe it's, you know what, in the details, you know what, who cares? I don't know, what are we having, you know what, for what are we going to eat today after church? I don't know. You know what, we're going to eat a tortilla and some beans and some, you know, whatever it is, it don't make no difference. You know what? But after the service is over, you know what? You go buy some. Amen. I said, after the service is over, you go buy some. And I'm not even hungry. Well, what I say, trust me, 11 o'clock, you'd be hungry. You'd all be happy that you have. Oh, praise God. You know, thank God. You know, I was so smart to buy those taquitos, you know, or tostados or whatever it is. Amen. Amen. But see, we have to be in agreement together. Amen. That's how you do it. You understand that what unites us is more important. I thank God that, you know what, we have so many diverse, you know, we have such a diverse congregation. And I don't even care if you know what, if, I mean, listen, every single one of us is different than the person right next to us. We could have, you know what, we could have Siamese twins sitting together. And you know what? And they are nothing like each other. How many know that's absolutely true? Amen. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's house. Wow, that's cool. Household. That there are contentions among you. Contentions. Somebody say contentions. What's contentions? Contentions means heated disagreement. An assertion, especially one maintained in argument. Well, let me tell you what. I know what's right. I know what's right. I know what's best. I know more than everybody else. Now I say this. That each of you who says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. See, we're united. What unites us? You know what? Let me tell you what unites us. The understanding that people are lost and that they need Jesus. And whether we have a taco or a burrito night, it makes no difference to me. Whether we sing a song that we sang 8 weeks ago or a song that we sang 2 days ago, it doesn't make any difference to me. I will not be contentious against you. I can't afford it, and neither can you. You know what? Amen. So look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended. Listen, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Understand. All eyes up here. Understand what the bait of Satan is. The bait of Satan is to get you offended. The Bible says love is not easily offended. We live in a day where, you know what, it's like everything offends everybody. You know what? Where we pick apart people's words and we judge them at the worst time. Wow. How many ever said anything wrong? Raise your hand if you ever said anything wrong. Raise your hand if you've even done anything wrong. You know what I mean? Raise your hand if you are ever ugly. Raise your hand if you're ever ugly. Raise your hand if you wake up every morning ugly. Oh, and I'm not saying that. Don't put your hands up. All I'm saying. I didn't raise my hand. Amen. I didn't point my finger. You just saw, I didn't point my finger. Listen, all I'm saying is this. You know, recognize, you know what? We can be offended at all kinds of things. But love is not easily offended. Love believes the best in people. Amen. Even when it seems like they maybe, hey, could you do this? Can you give people just the benefit of the doubt? Yes. Can you, raise your hand if you ever had a bad day. Can you let somebody else have a bad day? How many ever had a bad 10 minutes? Amen. How many want your life to be judged by 10 minutes? Hey, I'm just asking. I'm being poignant. Can we not judge other people's lives by 10 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, but they did 10 minutes a lot of times. Well, yeah, but you ugly thing, you did 10 minutes a lot of times too. Have we not? A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. See, you can get contentious, and listen, and yeah. Sometimes you ever been in a you're in a store or something, and the person starts to say, I've done this all the time. And the person starts to say, you know what, you want to return something, or you want some favor, or you know, you want something. And the person will start to go, let me tell you what store policy is. You know, they get all, And what you want to do is you want to try to get them not to draw a line in the sand. You want to try to get them not to be all, this is how it is. Why? Here's why. Because contentions are like bars of a castle. You ever had this? You ever had this? And no, let me do you. We like you, but we can't. You ever had that?
Yeah.
And then watch this. And you say politely, can I just talk to a manager? Because how many know? And you know what? The classic excuse. You know what the classic? Well, you know what? We can't because the computer can't do that. How many know you've got people who can override the computer all day long? Amen. Oh, we're gonna sacrifice customer service because the computer can't do it. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. You know what I mean? But I try not to get, you know, I try to, you know what? I ask people all the time, you know what? Hey, what's your motto? You know what I mean? How many know your motto is in most stores is really good? You know what I mean? You know, Marriott. You know what Marriott's motto is? You know what Marriott, you know, the hotel, you know what their motto is? No. Their motto is travel. Oh, what is it? Yeah, something like this. Exquisite travel. Exquisite. Ooh la la. How many know? Exquisite travel would probably mean that I can have a late checkout. Right? See, sometimes all we have to do is remind people what their motto is. Amen? So, you know what? We can't do that. I go, well, can I talk to a manager? And here's what happens all the time. The manager comes. I try to make this happen. I try to make sure that employee doesn't walk four steps over and talk to the manager separate. Because once you get it concrete, contentions are like bars in a castle. You ain't getting by. So you want the manager not to be infected by the rigidness of the employee. And I found two things. We had a great book called Million Dollar Habits. In this book, Million Dollar Habits, it said that 9 times out of 10, almost all the time, the manager's attitude will filter down to the employees. Not all the time, but most of the time. The owner's attitude will filter down to the management and to the employees. Amen? You know why people are sweet around here?
Oh, come on, man. Amen.
You're sweet.
Pastor, I have no idea where you're going with this. Come on, somebody help me out. You know why people are sweet around here? Because Tamara and I are sweet.
Yeah.
Amen? So what you want to do is you need to understand, no, that's not how we want to be. We don't want to be contentious. We want to have this flexibility. We want to be gracious. Are you learning something?
Amen.
Look at Proverbs 19, 13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and a contentious, the contentions of a wife are a continually dripping.
Yeah.
you ever hear just, you know what, something drip, 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 you're trying to sleep, drip, and it's just, I just ignore it. And every time the drip, it just gets louder. I mean, it just drives you nuts, amen?
Yeah.
Mm. See, we don't, guys, ladies, we don't want to bring that in the home.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. How many know your kids are watching you? We don't want to set our kids up for failed marriages. Amen. And how many know this contentions can not only be of the wife, but they can be of the man too? Are you learning some? All right, let's look at a couple other things. Go to 1 Corinthians. Have it up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear least when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, that and that I should be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be, what? Contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whispering, conceits, tumults. Look at this. Look at this. Contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. You know what a contentious person will be? They'll be a jealous person. They'll be somebody who just freaks out all the time. You ever know anybody like that? You ever know anybody like that? Y'all sitting next to somebody like, no, I didn't say that. All I'm saying is, it's interesting the list. All I'm saying is, look at the list. Selfish ambitions. No, it's got to be my way. That's a contentious person. You know what? Backbiting. Contentious person. Whispering. Contentious person. Oh, you learned something. Galatians. For you, brethren, have not been so called to liberty, but do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. 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 All right. I said all that. Did you learn something?
Yes.
I said all that to, I'll tell you next week. I just reckon I can't get started on this. Next week, I'm going to tell you the four pillars that our church are built on.
Okay.
The four pillars that our church are built on. Let me tell you why I'm going to tell you the four pillars the church are built on. Because I want you to understand, you know what? What Tamara and I see as a priority in this church. I want everyone to be on the same page. John Maxwell said this. This is where I'll start next week. John Maxwell did this. He went to he was given an opportunity to pastor Skyline Church in San Diego. It was a big church, and he got there and he had a lot of work to do. The church had been in decline, and once a very, very large church. Under his leadership, they absolutely took off. But the church had been in decline, and he was given the opportunity to bring that church back. First thing he did, he met with his elders. He had 12 elders, and he passed out a 3x5 card, and he said, write down the purpose of this church. Write down the purpose of this church. And what happened was, when he got all 12 cards back, guess what he got? They were not only different, they were all different. How in the world can we row? Let's all get in a boat, okay? And I'll say count to three and then row in the direction you think we should go. How many know we're in problems if we're all rowing in a certain direction, but it's all a different direction? What's going on with that, with the boat? It's just like going, ooh, you know what I mean? We'll row really hard, and in 1 hour we'll have gotten nowhere. And in 2 hours we will have gotten Nowhere. So I'm going to teach you next week. And I want you to come. And I'm going to teach you the four pillars of this church. The things that the church, you know what, that the Holy Spirit dumped in my heart. And he said a long time ago, this is what the church has to be built on. These are the pillars that you will build the church. And the church will do a lot of things, and they'll have different programs and different emphasis, but your church will always be built on these four pillars. Amen. So I'm going to teach you the four pillars. Did you learn something today? Okay. You know what? Look at your neighbor. Say, serve one another.
Serve one another.
But through, how do we serve it? Through love. You want to do it by love. Amen. You want to serve each other. That's why this place, when we have a church work day, you know what? I'm going to have to buy a whole bunch of burritos. Amen. I'm going to have to buy a whole bunch of burritos. Why? Here's why. Because I believe that you're coming. I believe that you're coming.